at verse 27. You can follow with me in your Bibles if you would, please. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. The Bible says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things which be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the great opportunity that lies before us to come into your house, to sing praises to your glory, to talk to the Heavenly Father, and to hear from your word. And I pray, my Lord, that as we have gathered together for such a purpose, that you, by your Holy Spirit, might open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word. I pray you'd speak to every heart in this building, whatever their need might be. There may be some here today that have a need of salvation. I pray you'd speak to that heart. There may be those here today that have troubles and problems. I pray you'd speak to their hearts. There may be those that need to make decisions. I pray you'd guide and direct them in it. And Father, I pray that you'd glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ asks two questions of his disciples. The first one he asks is this: Whom do men say that I am? And the second question is this: But whom say ye that I am? Those are two important questions. Whom do men say that I am? There are many differing opinions. And the disciples said to him, Well, you know, some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Or maybe you're Elias, risen from the dead, or one of the other prophets. And there are those today that believe that Jesus is many things. Some say that Jesus is a good man. Some say that he was a great teacher. Some say that he was a social reformer. Others say that he was a great prophet. Some say he was an emanation from God. Some even say he was an angel. But the real question is this morning, whom say ye that he is? Who do you say Jesus is? It doesn't really matter what others think about Jesus. It matters what you think about Jesus. Peter replied, Thou art the Christ. And so we know where Peter stood. We knew what Peter believed. He knew who Jesus was. He said, Thou art the Christ. Peter was a believer. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, speaking of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says this, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When Jesus was born, it is God coming to earth to be with us. He is the manifestation of himself in human form. He is God who decided to become man so he could die for man and man could have eternal life given to him as a free gift by grace through faith, and what God came to do. Amen. So let me ask you today, whom say ye that he is? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whom say ye that he is? Now, as the Lord was walking with his disciples, he stops and he calls everyone within earshot, gather around him. And he wants to explain something in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, and his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Lord is going to explain what it means to be a disciple. Here were 12 men who are called the Lord's disciples. And they were called disciples before they were called Christians. A disciple, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is a person who believes in the ideas of a leader, especially a religious or political one, here it is, and tries to live according to those ideas. Did you get the living part? It's one thing to agree with the teaching, but that's not all a disciple does. He doesn't just say, yeah, that's right. He says, yeah, that's right, and that's what I'm going to do. A disciple learns by hearing his master and doing like his master. The standard definition of disciple is someone who adheres to the teachings of another. It is a follower or a learner. It refers to someone who takes up the ways of someone else. Applied to Jesus, a disciple is someone who learns from him to live like him. Did you get the living part? Did you get the doing part? This doing is the important part. James said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so we may be believers, we may be Christians, but if we're not doers of the word of the Master, we cannot correctly call ourselves disciples because we're only deceiving ourselves. And so you believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's good. Now, if you want to be a disciple, there is some doing part that Jesus talks about. The doing part. Now, let's look at that this morning. Number one, the first thing Jesus says in verse 34 about the doing part of being a disciple is this, denying self. You see what he says? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. This denying of self requires the individual to put self behind the Lord Jesus in the number two spot at best. It seems it's the putting of Christ and His Word out in front. If we're going to truly trust Him to protect us, He's got to be in the front. If we're truly going to trust the Lord to lead us, then He's got to be in the front. It's hard to lead from the back, although some have tried it. This word come, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to accompany. And so He's saying, if you want to accompany me, if you want to walk with me, if you want to go along with me, you got to come after me. You got it? You got to come after me. The word after means behind in time or position. It's the same word He used up in verse 33 when He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why did He say that? Well, Peter had presumptuously taken the lead or stepped out in front instead of following behind the Lord. Here's the Lord. He's telling them what He's going to do, what's going to happen to Him. He says, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter steps out and says, no, that's not going to happen. Nuh-uh. He stepped out in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now He is saying what's going to happen instead of Jesus saying what's going to happen. Now, let me ask you, who wants to usurp God's position and authority? Satan does. And all attempts to do so originate with Satan. The Lord is not saying that Peter is Satan, but that he's acting like Satan. Let me give you an illustration. My wife has an aunt, and she's in heaven, praise the Lord. But her name was Aunt June. And Aunt June was a cleaning nut. I mean, this woman cleaned like nobody cleans. She would actually take a toothbrush and clean her kitchen floor. You know those little cracks that get a little bit of... She'd clean them out with a toothbrush. And so in our family, when anybody got a little too fastidious about their cleaning, we'd say, okay, Aunt June. Oh, look at Aunt June over there. Now, we knew she wasn't Aunt June, but she's acting like Aunt June. She's cleaning like Aunt June. And so we'd just say, all right, Aunt June. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. You're acting just like Satan. You're doing just what the devil wants you to do. You're stepping out in front of me. You're taking the lead, and you're saying you're going to say what's happening instead of me saying what's happening. That's just what the devil wants to do. Denying self requires us to savor the things of Christ over the things of men. Imagine, Peter was rebuking the Christ. He just said, thou art the Christ. But now let me say what's going to happen. Thou art the Christ, but I'm going to run the show. Thou art the Christ, but I'm going to be the one that's going to say what's going to happen. That takes a lot, doesn't it? On the one hand, he says, thou art the Christ, and on the second one, he presumes to know better than the Christ about what actually is going to happen. And the Bible says he rebukes the Christ. So Peter says, thou art the Christ, but let me straighten you out about something. That doesn't even make sense. But isn't that how we are sometimes? You know, one day Jesus is the Christ, and the next day we want things our way. And our way are the things of men. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Christ. He's the Lord. But this is the way that's going to happen in my life. This is the way things are going to go down with me. Jesus is saying that his way must be first and out in front, not our way. It's what he says that is true. Not what we say. And it's not what others say. It's what he says. If you're going to follow me, Jesus said, then you're going to have to think like me and you're going to have to act like me. It means you feel, you know, Christian, when you feel like quitting, you deny yourself. You hearing what I'm saying? He said, you got to deny yourself. There's going to be times in life where you want to do something or you want to have it a certain way, or you want something to be true, or you want some... He said, no, you deny yourself. Why? Because you really don't know what you're talking about. He's the all-knowing one. He's the omniscient one. Are we going to instruct him? Are we going to inform him? He said, no, you deny yourself. When you want to be bitter, deny yourself. When you want to cut corners, deny yourself. When you want to compromise, deny yourself. When you want to drink that drink or smoke that cigarette or look at those pictures or play that video game or think those thoughts or go to that place or do that thing, he says, deny yourself. It means that when your flesh is tempted to sin, you deny it. When your flesh is weak and wants to give in, you deny it. When your human heart wants to hate, you deny it. When it does not want to forgive, you deny it. When it begins to lust, you deny it. You see what he's saying? Deny yourself. You're just going to get yourself in trouble. You're just going to say things you shouldn't say and go places you shouldn't go and do things you... Deny yourself. Why? You're just a sinner. Saved by grace, but still a sinner. When your human mind thinks it knows better than God, deny it. when it wants to say, I know, but deny it. Who is the first one who said, but? It was Satan, wasn't it? When he went to Eve and started talking to her, and he said, yeah, I know what God said, but. And that's been going on ever since. Christians are saying, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what Jesus said, but. I know what's right, but. I know what I should do, but. What you're doing is you're stepping out in front of Jesus just like Peter did. And he could say to you, get behind me, Satan. He's not calling you Satan, but he's saying you're acting just like him. When you have the impulse to step out in front of Jesus, deny it. When you want to have your way instead of his, deny it. When you want to believe your thoughts instead of his word, deny it. When you have the urge to run, deny yourself. When you don't understand or are tempted to doubt, deny yourself. When you want to run the show, deny yourself. That's the first thing he said. You want to come after me? You want to fall in behind me? You want to walk where I walk and come along with me? Then the first thing you have to do is deny yourself. You know why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to take you places you're not going to want to go. I'm going to do things you don't want to do. And I'm not going to do things you do want to do. And I'm going to take you places you wouldn't go on your own. And it's going to require that you deny yourself. That's hard to do, isn't it? We don't want to deny ourselves. We live in probably the most selfish time in human history. Now, I'm sorry, millennials. You're the way you are because of the baby boomers. Right now, the millennials, I'm not trying to be mean, but you're just spoiled and you're selfish. You know where that started? Back in the 60s. With us, we were the original anti-establishment people. We rebelled against everything. And look where it's ended up. So I apologize. But it doesn't take your responsibility away from you. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Deny yourself. It means to walk humbly with the Lord Jesus in acquiescence to his word. And when there is a difference between what you think and he thinks, between what you say and he says, deny yourself. You have to say no to somebody, right? So who are you going to say no to? The Christ? Are you going to say no to you? I mean, take a look. Huh? I'm talking about in the mirror. If you think you should obey that instead of him. You must deny one or the other. One who is God. One who knows everything. One who sees all. One who has all power. Or trust in yourself. I think, you know, trusting in ourselves already has gotten us in too much trouble, hasn't it? Jesus said, if you're going to walk with me, you've got to walk behind me. If you want me to protect you, you've got to let me out front. If you want me to lead you, you've got to let me be out front. That means you've got to deny yourself. Number two, Mark chapter 8, verse 34. He said, now, first thing you have to do is deny yourself. The second thing you need to do is take up your cross. Now, what does it mean to take up the cross? I believe that there are several things associated with taking up the cross. Number one, the cause of the cross. You have to take up the cause of the cross. What is the cause of the cross? Salvation of lost souls. That's what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says he came and seeked it and saved that which was lost. That's why he died on the cross. The cross was the altar of God upon which the Lamb of God was sacrificed for the sins of the world. If it were not a need for souls to be saved, there would be no cross. But there had to be a cross because human souls were dying and going to hell, and the only way for them to be saved was for Jesus Christ to come to earth and hang on that cross and shed his precious sinless blood to pay for our sins and die in our place and rise again from the dead so that we could trust in what he did and not what we think we can do. It's denying self, isn't it? If you want to get saved, you have to deny yourself. You have to say, I can't work my way to heaven. I can't be good enough to go to heaven. I can't be religious enough to go to heaven. There's no ritual I can do. There's nothing I can accomplish. I have to just trust Jesus. Amen. Deny yourself and trust Jesus. And he says to the disciples, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, and then you've got to take up your cross. The cause of the cross has to become your cause. What is your cause? If you've got any cause that's greater than the cause of the cross, then you've got an inferior cause. Just like you have to get behind Jesus, all your causes have to get behind the gospel cause, the cause of the cross. I think that the Christian needs to come to a place in his or her life when they realize why they are here. Why are you here? We're here to love God and glorify Him. Now, what demonstrates the love of God more than the cross? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. Amen. So if we're going to love God, we've got to love the cause for which God came to earth and gave Himself. We're here to preach the cross and to point sinners to the cross. And what glorifies God more than sinners being saved? What does the Bible say causes rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God? One soul that repenteth. One soul. That's how important the cross is. The Lord did not leave you here to be a doctor or a teacher or a painter. He left you here to be a witness. Now, you are not a doctor or a lawyer who is a Christian, but you should be a Christian who happens to be a doctor or a lawyer. You get the difference? When people say, well, what are you? Well, I'm a doctor. What are you? Well, I'm a teacher. Well, what are you? I'm a Christian. What do you do? Oh, I'm a doctor. Are we more proud of being a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher? Or are we more proud, and I use the term properly, are we more proud of being a Christian? You see? What do we associate with first? And so we need to have an affinity for the cause of the cross. But number two, we need to take up the course of the cross. You know what the course of the cross is? God's will. Not my will. That's the course of the cross. The course to the cross for Jesus was when he prayed and said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will. You see? That's the course of the cross. In our text, Peter was putting his will before the Lord's will, wasn't he? If you go back to Matthew, don't do it, but you look at the corresponding passage in Matthew, you'll find out that Peter said, oh, no, that's not going to happen. He was putting his will before the Lord's will. And the Lord said, when you put your will before my will, that comes from the devil. Didn't he tell Eve? Well, God doesn't want you to eat that tree because he knows the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. Put your will before God's will. What's God's will? That we don't eat of it. What's your will? Well, I'd like to be like God. So do your will. Go ahead. The course of the cross is the way of God's perfect will. Now listen, God knows the purpose of your life. God knows the direction that He's taking with your life. God knows what He is doing with your life. That's the course. The course of the cross is God's will. God, listen, the disciples' heart's this. What wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to say? How wilt thou have me to act? to say, Lord, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to say, and this is what how I want to react, but not my will, but thine be done. Please, Lord, give me the grace and power to savor the things of God instead of the things of man. We automatically savor the things of men. We're supposed to savor the things of God. And so we have the course of the cross. Number three, we have the courage of the cross. It takes courage to be a true disciple. It means aligning yourself with Jesus Christ publicly. To preach the word out of season. To be politically incorrect. To be persecuted for your stand. Jesus said, or 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It means to be polarized for your conviction. And what is your conviction? Thou art the Christ. There's no other one. There's no other name. There's no other Savior. There's no other God. And the courage of the cross is to take that stand and not back down. It would take courage for the disciples to preach Jesus as the Christ and Christ as God. It would take courage to witness of His resurrection and coming again in opposition to the established religion of the day. It takes courage to take up for Jesus when He has gone to heaven, to receive stripes and to be beaten with rods. Took courage. That's the courage of the cross. It takes courage to believe and continue on in the face of opposition and seemingly insurmountable obstacles. The Bible speaks of the offense of the cross in Galatians 5:11. Persecution for the cross, Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Enemies of the cross, Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. The foolishness of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And the shame of the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. That's what it means. Taking up your cross. Jesus said you got to deny yourself. Then you pick up the cross and you prove you're not ashamed of me. You're not ashamed of me. Because when you carry your cross, you're associated with me. When the Lord Jesus was carrying His cross, it looked like the end, didn't it? It was publicly humiliating and physically challenging, but it was victory in the making, though no one else could see it. They looked at Jesus and they saw the shame and humiliation and degradation. Jesus saw the victory. He said, now listen, dear Christian, if you're going to take up your cross, there may be some shame. There may be humiliation and degradation because you're associating yourself with me, but it's victory in the making. You're on your march to victory, not to defeat. The world thought that he was defeated. The devil thought that he was defeated. And Jesus said, no, this is just the first step of victory. The cross you take up is symbolic of anything and everything that God determines to be His will for your life and for His glory. And then thirdly, He says this. He said, you have to deny yourself. He said, you have to take up your cross. And then He said, follow me. Now, that seems pretty simple. Following Jesus means following His word, following His will, and following His way. It means getting behind Him and walking in His footsteps, not making my own way. Walking by faith, not by sight. Walking worthy, the Bible says, of the Lord unto all pleasing. It means seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It means walking in newness of life. When you're going to walk with Jesus, when you're going to follow Him, you're going to be on a new path. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? I want to be, you know where I want to be? I want to be right there on the path of life. I want Him to show me the path of life. I want Him to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. I want Him to order my steps. I want Him to show me the path of my life. But to do that, I have to get behind Him. I have to deny myself. take up my cross. Then I can follow him. You know what? In his presence is fullness of joy. You can, in his presence. You know, when you're walking behind Jesus, there's fullness of joy. It means a new purpose. Mark chapter 1, 17, and Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He said, look, you've been just old, plain old fishers of fishes. He said, you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, what's more valuable, fish or men? What's more important, fish or men? What's harder to catch, fish or men? And Jesus said, look, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to take you somewhere you'd never think of going by yourself. He said, I'm going to take you somewhere you could never go by yourself. I'm going to have you doing things you never thought you could do and things that you can't do by yourself. He said, look, I'm going to take you on a whole new path with a whole new purpose. But you got to get behind me. You got to get behind me, and you got to take up your cross. You got to get right close. And I'll take you places you ain't never been before. I'll do things with you ain't never had done before. And he's saying this to everybody. He can do it with anybody. Paul said, if he can do it with me, he can do it with anybody. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the worst one of the bunch. And yet God did it with me. And not only will you have a new path and a new purpose, but you'll have a new power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be doctors and lawyers and teachers. No. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me. You see, it takes a whole power to be a witness for Jesus, doesn't it? You want power in your life? You need to deny yourself, because you ain't got no power. You want power in your life? You need to take up your cross and get right behind Jesus and walk where he walks. You want power in your life? You've got to be filled with that Holy Spirit who lives in you and has sealed you until the day of redemption. I want to ask you this morning, who are you following? Where are you going? What's the purpose of your life? What's the power of your life? Who are you following when you act like you act? Who are you following when you do what you do? When you do that thing? Who are you following? When you play that thing, who are you following? When you touch that, or you look at that, or you take that, who are you following? See, we'd all be better off if we deny ourselves, wouldn't we? We're killing ourselves. And Jesus, I want to give you life. I want to give you life more abundant. I want to give you joy. I want to give you a joy that's full. He said, but you got to get behind me. And you got to take up your cross, denying yourself. In verse 35, we learn that to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Christ, that's when we really start living. Look what it says. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That word lose means it'll be a wasted life. You want to live your life your way? You want to follow your own heart? You want to follow your own devices? You waste your life, he says. But whosoever shall lose his life, deny himself for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. It's when you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus, that's when you really start living life to its fullest. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you today as a Christian, how are you doing? I want to ask you, how are you in the habit of denying yourself? Or are you more in the habit of indulging yourself? Jesus said, you're not living until you've learned to deny yourself and follow me. And maybe this morning you say, preacher, I need to deny myself more than I have been. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me. There's things I know in my life I need to deny myself about. And I heard it. I heard it when you said it. Amen. Thank you. You can put them down. Maybe there's some here today that would say, you know, I haven't been willing to take up my cross. I haven't been willing to be associated with Jesus publicly, and I haven't been willing to follow His will versus my will, and I've been the teacher first and the Christian second. I need to switch that thing around. Anybody like that here today? Just lift your hand and say, yes, I know I need to take up my cross. There's some things I'm not willing to do because of the shame that's associated with Jesus in some circles. Yes, thank you. You can put them down. And then maybe there's someone here today that said, you know what? I'm not really following Jesus. I haven't been willing to go the course of the cross. I haven't been willing to allow the Lord to take me on a new path with a new purpose and a new power. And I haven't been willing to have the courage it takes to carry the cross. But I sure would like to. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you this. Jesus was talking to His disciples. But you know, He talks to you if you're here today and you've never been saved. The Bible says that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been thinking you're a pretty good guy and you can do this and you can do that and accomplish this and accomplish that. You've been religious. But you know what? That's you. Maybe this morning you just need to deny yourself and be honest and say, there's nothing I can do to save my own soul. That's why Jesus came. And He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And maybe today you just need to reach out and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's eternally too late. Maybe today, right where you sit, you know in your heart that if you died today, you'd split hell wide open. And you realize right now you need this Savior, this Christ, to be yours. Not just a historical figure, but your personal Savior. You know, you can trust Him to be your Savior right where you sit. You can ask Him and call on Him right where you sit in the privacy of your own heart and mind. You say, preacher, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. Would you look up at me if that's what you want to do? You're looking up at me. Sir, that's what you'd like to do? All right. Hang on for a minute. Anybody else? Look up right now. You're looking up. You're saying, preacher, that's what I need to do. And I'm willing right now to do that. All right, here's what you need to do. Bow your head. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's a prayer of faith. If you believe in your heart the things that you're going to pray, God sees that as your faith. Why don't you say to Him, dear God, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. And I realize there's nothing I can do to save my own soul. But I believe Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for my sins. And died and was buried and rose again the third day so that I could have the gift of eternal life. And right now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking You to be my Savior. I'm trusting You as the payment for my sin. Thank You, Lord, for loving me. And thank You, Lord, for being willing to save me. If you prayed that prayer, would you look up again? If you prayed that prayer, anybody in this room prayed that prayer, I want you to look up at me right now. All right, on the authority of God's Word, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So on the authority of the Word of God, not on my authority, but on God's authority, because you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, He has forgiven you, and He has paid your price, and He has given you eternal life. And He said this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today. Would You help us now, my Father, as we have this invitation? I pray, my Lord, You might speak to Christians' hearts and we might come forward and say, oh, God, I don't want to be content just being a believer. I don't want to be content just being a Christian. I want to be a disciple. And, Lord, I need to deny myself. I need to take up the cross. I need to follow Jesus. I need to get behind Him. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might glorify yourself in that. And then I pray, my Father, for those who trusted Christ as their Savior today, that you might give them the courage and the strength to come and stand with me at the front and let us tell everyone so you could get to glory. That they'll deny themselves, their fear, their reluctance. They'll deny themselves and they'll come forward and glorify you. We ask you to show yourself strong. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, 694. And as we sing this hymn, I would like to ask you to do something. God's spoken to your heart this morning about this idea of denying yourself or taking up your cross or following him, getting behind him where you're supposed to be. Why don't you come and talk to him about it? You need grace? You'll find grace to help in time of need. You need power? You'll find it. You come today and get with God. And if you're here today and you trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to come and stand right with me. Let's tell everybody. Let's let everybody know that he'll get the glory and we'll rejoice with you. All right? As we sing on the first.